From Alaska Teen Media Institute, I'm Ormer Lois, and this is Film Club, a podcast series where our youth film critics and cultural connoisseurs spill the theoretical tea on a new movie and sometimes talk to filmmakers. But in this episode, we're taking an entirely different approach. The Alaska Filming Initiative is a group of local filmmakers dedicated to reigniting the success of our state's film industry. They hope to not just create movie-making opportunities, but to foster a thriving, diverse, and sustainable economic environment across the state. One of the ways they are exploring to achieve this is by bringing a film tax incentive back to the state. Some Alaskans might remember the movies Big Miracle and The Frozen Ground filming up here over a decade ago. At that time, there was a sizable film tax incentive in place that attracted those productions, but it was short-lived. And since then, movies and TV shows that are set in Alaska often film at other locations, where it is more financially feasible. So for this episode, we're hearing from Ashley Sneed and Stephen Cornfield, two of the members of the Alaska Filming Initiative. They spoke with Emmy producer Jordan Kell about how a film tax incentive could benefit the state's economy, garnering support from legislatures to get a feasibility study done, and much more.
In a quick elevator pitch, what is the Alaska Film Initiative trying to accomplish?
Take it away, Ashley.
All right. Well, the Alaska Filming Initiative, basically at this stage, we are a group of people who are very enthusiastic about exploring the idea of bringing back a film incentive to the state of Alaska. And so our main ask currently is for legislators to basically okay the financing for a $50,000 feasibility study, which would allow a third-party company to come in and look at what a film incentive would do for economic development in the state of Alaska, what effects it would have, what infrastructures we have or don't have, and just kind of give us a really in-depth look at the state and how this could be helpful and beneficial to the people of the state. And
that was great.
Yeah.
You did so good. That was great.
Thanks. Yeah.
So just to clarify, this is just right now focusing on getting a study up and running or the possibility of a study. It's not trying to put anything in place just yet.
Yes.
No, obviously we are very enthusiastic about, hopefully the answer is yes, there should, you know, be a film incentive. But the shape of that or what it looks like, the amount of dollars, the way that all works, that's not where we're at. This is a long-term goal. And so right now, we just want to get people excited about considering the possibility of bringing this back to the state.
Right. Yep.
Who are some of the people that make up the Alaska Film Initiative? Are they local filmmakers? Do we have support from outside of the state? Maybe even other countries?
There's a bunch of local filmmakers. I mean, I think there's a lot of different people. We're just like, you know, one group. I think there's many people that want to see this come back and they're working on their own way. And so we were just like one factor of this. We're huge advocates for local filmmaking. So it's a lot of local filmmakers. Jeremy Blake.
Big fan.
We all are. We love that
great
guy.
Great educator.
Yeah. He was messaging me earlier and he sent me this silly song and I was like, if we don't listen to that every set we're on for the rest of our lives together, I'll be pissed.
Yeah. Right.
And so it was just like a funny moment. And so love him. Quentin Oliver Smith, Landsick Media.
Great media producer.
Phenomenal.
Definitely cornerstone of the community.
100%. And then, yeah, so I mean, there's just a few other people that are just kind of in and out. Also, Alex Sally is another one who's in our initiative as well.
Yeah, and there's a couple of people who aren't specifically filmmakers. And it's important to have both filmmakers and what we call like ancillary sort of industries that actually will hopefully benefit from having an incentive like this. So the hospitality industry, different vendors who would service film, you know, films or productions that come up here, you know, rental cars, like just all these different places. It's not, you know, the idea is to have an economic impact that's not just filmmakers. It's sort of everybody, caterers, like everyone, vendors, everybody that's important to making a movie.
Yeah.
So we're working very strategically to get those voices in as well and to get their support.
Yeah.
Because it's one thing to have filmmakers. It's another thing, really. It should be multiple industries should be affected by this because it's a state thing. It's not just a film
right.
thing.
So, I mean, like, we're small. We're just starting out, really. Mm-hmm. So it's a very small group. So outside support, we really honestly haven't even gone out. We've been focusing more on, like, who's around in our community and who's interested in spending some time. Because right now we're all volunteers. It's like we don't really have money coming in that we're paying ourselves. Like, we're going to Juno and we're paying that out of our pocket, you know, because we believe in this state and we believe that this something like this could help the state and boost the economy and, you know, bring jobs and also make our cool level just a little bit higher.
Put
you
us
know?
On the map a little bit more.
Yeah.
Maybe people will know we're an actual landmass and not an island.
Exactly. Yes. I mean, because we are an island, because technically the only way to get here is like flying or driving very long route.
Yeah.
And so I think there's like the big question is like, all right, we're filmmakers and how can we make our state better? What can we do? And it's like, we tell stories. Okay, let's, you know, how does that help? And it's like, oh, we can make this a little bit bigger and we can bring them back the film initiative, the film incentive, whatever that looks like. It's just, we love Alaska. That's all we have in common. And we love film.
Yeah. You know? And there's a lot of stuff that is, you know, we live in a beautiful place with really unique landscapes.
Really do.
And
ugh, man.
It's a tragedy we don't see more of it in films.
Well, we do see it in films, except it's made in Canada and it's made in Iceland. You know, it's made all these other places because there are film incentives in those areas.
Or they just get stock footage of like, they just search stock footage like Alaska. And then it's like, all right, this looks great.
Drone put that in our peninsula. Throw like, that in real quick.
Come on. Yeah, exactly. It's like, no, I think there's something about filming in this state and getting the vibe of our, you know, previous culture and our culture of today and putting that into the film and putting that into your project. I think there's so much more special than being like, all right, well, it takes place in Alaska, but we're filming in Canada. And it's like, that's a miss, man, in my head.
And True Detective, you know, they filmed over in Iceland and they did actually, we have to give
they
them
did.
Props.
Yeah.
They did a good job of including voices from Alaska,
They filmed up here a little bit very little bit establishing shots.
You can't blame them. You can't compete with the 35% or whatever credit in Iceland. They've got to go where that is. But they did take, because it's an Alaska scripted story and it obviously has an indigenous population and that's a big part of the story, they took some consultants from here over there and they really did a good job with it. It would have been a better job had they, you know, been able to shoot here. Although, do we have the infrastructure for that? That's
right.
Sort of another part of it. But
there's so many questions that arise with bringing the film incentive back, right? Do we have the hotels to support big, giant movie crews? Not really, you know? Do we have the restaurants that can feed all these people? We're getting better. So there's like so much like infrastructure thing. And so we're not seeing this as like, you know, I don't know. Back in 2008 to 2015, we had a film incentive up here and it was very exciting. We had big giant movies that were being filmed up here. We had celebrity sightings of people walking and going into Moose's Tooth, where I worked at that time. And I had literally just gotten to the Moose's Tooth and they were like, you just missed like John Krasinski and Drew Barrymore. And I was like, what? Oh, man.
Should have clocked in.
I was bummed. Yeah, I should have, man. And so it was a very exciting time. And of course, like, you know, it was tough on our state because there was a lot of money going out and there was a lot of like infrastructure that we don't have. And so what we're saying is like, well, how can we get there? Maybe eventually someday, but let's start small. What are the next steps we have to take? So it's like literally when we started like scheming, and I'll say scheming, but it was more like we actually had a professional meeting and it was like, you know, someone was like, well, we need a feasibility study.
Yeah.
We need to know what is our best avenue for Alaska at this time. Mm-hmm. What can actually help our economy? What can actually bring jobs to this state? What can actually, you know, withstand our infrastructure and all that stuff? And so that's the whole point of getting this. It's like, we see the need. How do we get there? And we want it.
Yeah, because it's a lot more than just film. It's hospitality jobs, catering jobs.
Yeah.
You know, hotels and such. So it definitely touches on just more than film.
Right. And a feasibility study will show you exactly how those industries would benefit from this, you know? So that's kind of one of the things that we want to look at. And the good news is, in terms of infrastructure, there is a lot of, we would have to slow grow some stuff and look at it. But there is a roadmap for that. We're not the first state that has gone from no film and, you know, very little film industry to building up a pretty robust community. I mean, you look at something like Oklahoma, they started very small and now are getting Killers of the Flower Moon and huge, you know, studio movies. And I have worked in that state several times, you know, starting 6 years ago when there was, you know, one sound person. If you couldn't get them, there's no one else. And you have to bring them in from out of state. But now they have a lot.
That's kind of like, I mean.
Here in Alaska, we only have like three.
I was going to say, there's less than 10 for like almost everything.
So look, that's a great thing that now we've seen it happen, right? They've been able to build from very little to having a community that can support these larger projects coming in. So there's a roadmap to do that. There's other people have done it successfully. And I think the advantage is we can look to that and say where.
Yeah. And that's encouraging.
And again, we're not doing that right now. Step one is to even just open this conversation. But when we get to that point, when the people who are, you know, it may not be us, it may be other people that are sort of drafting these bills and looking at it, they'll be able to say, like, here's what worked, here's what didn't work, here's how you best practices to grow this. And we can learn from other people's mistakes.
Yeah. And I do think it's kind of cool because, like, Hollywood does see that Alaska's here, right? We're there, even though we're not, right? So I mean,
there's
like
a few movies, you know, based off Alaska that take place in Alaska, quote unquote.
Yeah,
Like they see us, they want to produce films here.
And I think that's the thing is, like, I mean, True Detective, Alaska Daily, you know, both big TV shows, they filmed very minimal up here, as far as like establishing shots and outside shots, but they didn't have to. And I think that's really cool. And I mean, you said that too, Ashley. I just wanted to say, like, kind of reiterate. It's like, I think that's really cool because there are, like, you know, they are giving jobs to people that, you know, want jobs. And there's a bunch of Alaskan people that did go to Iceland and also are working on post-production for True Detective and are working on, you know, pre-production or worked on pre-production for Alaska Daily and stuff like that. So it is kind of cool. So we are, like, on the precipice of something, I think, because it's like, you've seen this little in the last few years. You saw Alaska Daily, you saw True Detective, and you're seeing a little bit of more like flag at the end of the course or light at the end of the tunnel or something, you know, whatever. Good
there is a
metaphor.
Goal. There is a goal. There's a future. There's a path to progress.
It's like you start to see like these stories that are wanting to be told, and it's like, what does this mean for the future? And I think it's like, well, we're starting. Like, it's starting. We're starting it.
No better time than now.
Exactly. And so thank you for summing up in such short words what I was trying to sum up.
It's my job.
We have 5 hours of golden hour, magic hour.
Yeah.
Right? Cinematographer does not want to shoot up here if given the chance? Right?
It's gorgeous. I mean, even like there was this the blue light we have during the snow. It was just like, you have to take advantage of that. It's gorgeous. Nowhere else have I seen that. So golden hour.
And even just pulling away from just visuals, like just the sound you get during winter.
Yeah.
With the snow, it's just so unique. Just every aspect of filmmaking here in Alaska, it's hard to replicate.
100%. I mean, I think there's just something about this state that really, if you want to tell stories, there's something that nurtures that and fosters that here in just our nature. And just our community. And I think there's something about just Alaska and just coming out your front door and being like, dang, those mountains are cool, man. You know, it's just like there's something about, and then you go somewhere else and you're like, I miss the mountains. You know, there's something, a little uptick, you know, in your atmosphere and your mood that Alaska just brings. And so that's why we're like, you know, we love Alaska. We want to see it succeed. We want to see it thrive and prosper. And so that's why we're like, we're filmmakers. Let's try to be filmmakers forever up here, you know, stuff like that. So,
because it's such a small community up here, and even the population small, the state in total hasn't breached a million population.
I know,
right? Like, it's still insanely close. And that's what I respect about the Alaska Filming Initiative is, like, I follow the Facebook group and I see how much it matters to a lot of people that mm-hmm. we get the culture up here, right? That we get the indigenous voices up
yes.
here, right?
Yes.
And that we make 100%. Sure that we're doing everything respectfully and properly.
Yeah.
Right? And that's, I'm glad that that's very much like at the forethought of the group.
Yeah. We talked about this, like, cause you know, Alaska is here because of Native culture. And I think that's something that we should always have in the forefront of our minds. And we want the people who come up here from out of state, you know, when whatever this looks like, whatever comes back, we want them to understand where we've come from too, or just where this state has been and what it's built on top of. And so, you know, there's been ideas of just being like, oh, you know, down the road, you know, maybe we have people do a course before they even touch a camera and film in Alaska. They have to learn about a Native culture and Alaskan history, and just understand. Or there's some sort of person that has to be hired with your project that is with upholding those voices and understanding. Because I think that's one thing that's pretty important is like, listen, if you're going to tell stories from someone that you don't know or something that you don't know, I think you should get in touch with those yeah. people
you
that
can't
do
give
know.
Proper representation or accuracy without
exactly.
their input and knowledge
yeah.
and history.
I think that's, I mean, we all as a group have been like, that's important to see. And you'll see it in our mission statement mm-hmm. that we want to uphold, and I can't remember the exact wording, the stories of Alaska Native culture, because I mean that we think that's important to have.
And speaking on the initiative, on the website, you guys do have a petition. Could you explain more of what that is trying to accomplish? Is it just trying to get numbers to show support for legislators, or what's?
Absolutely, yeah, that's exactly okay. what it's trying to do. We are going down to Juneau in the beginning of March, mm-hmm. a group of us, and we'll be meeting with as many legislators as that will meet with us. And we will have a higher chance of getting them to listen to us, getting them to actually consider, you know, doing a feasibility study and unlocking some money to fund that. And again, this is such a small amount of money compared to other things that are mm-hmm. that are being yeah. funded. Mm-hmm. And the more community interest that we can show, the better. So if anyone, you know, out there thinks that this is something that should even be considered and even looked at, it would be great to sign your name to that. You're not saying that you agree with what it's going to look like in the end or anything like that. You're right. just saying, yeah, we should look at this. We should consider this. We should brainstorm this. We should spend some time thinking about, should Alaska have an incentive? And if you agree with that, if you think that that's worthwhile, then throw your name on there and tell mm-hmm. 10 friends, because we need as many people as possible. And we also, after you sign it, what's will be even more helpful is, or just as additionally helpful, is if you take the time to potentially reach out to your legislator and say, hey, mm-hmm. please meet with these people in Juneau. Yeah. Please say yes to them when they email you and they call you and they knock on your door and say, can I have 15 minutes? Say yes. And it's one thing for, you know, a couple of us to go down there. And it's another thing if they're getting, you know, even just five emails, you know, five personal emails. If every legislator is getting five emails, they have to start to listen to that. I mean, that's what they're here for, is mm-hmm. to listen to their constituents and what everybody wants. So mm-hmm. the more we can show that this is of interest, the better chance we have of furthering the conversation.
Yeah. So, I mean, also to add on top of what, you know, she was saying, you know, right now we're almost at 200 names as of this recording this podcast.
Yeah.
And so it's like, what we're going to do, and we're not like going to sell that data or share the addresses, or there are no addresses. People aren't putting addresses, but basically we're going to put the letter on a PDF. And then on that PDF, we're also going to put the 200 names and just being like, look at all this. And then also like, you know, some sort of map where it's like, hey, look, this is where, you know, all these people are live. The whole state is covered. And people that are want to support this and want to see it. And so basically, it's like, you know, sliding over that PDF across mm-hmm. the table and then just
it
being like,
humanizes
here's
the
letters, here's 200 names, mm-hmm. and here's where they are, like, here's a, you know, the sector of where they all are around.
Very much puts it into like, these are people, yes. not just numbers.
Or these are Alaskans.
Not a statistic. This is,
yeah.
these are people with homes and families and
careers. Restaurant owners and, mm-hmm. and business and entrepreneurs and dancers and other filmmakers and
even the gaffers. Shout out to the gaffers. They don't get much love.
One of the most important people
without on gaffers.
Craft services. The craft service yeah. that keeps everybody okay, happy.
That is a good point, too. Yeah.
You know, everybody. Yeah.
Everybody's so important.
And
I'm really a meanie when I'm hungry. So thank right. you to anybody who does crafty.
Exactly. And then we do have a couple. I mean, the feasibility study is sort of our main goal, but we do have a couple other asks. Mm-hmm. It is really hard. Like, incentive aside, there are people shooting up here right now, and it's very hard for them to find permitting, like to be able to shoot up here. Like, it's not the easiest yeah. place to shoot, even if you don't care about an incentive and just want to shoot your movie. Like, there's not a single place that you could easily go and get yeah. permits. It's a very convoluted system.
Where do you
system.
Figure out?
Right. It's not so, like an office directions. Where it's filming permits exactly. or filming locations.
Yeah. And so yeah. it would benefit the state, I think, just to make that easier. And that's pretty easy. Like, put up a website that has links mm-hmm. to where people go to get their permits.
We used to have a website, alaska.film.gov or something like that.
Now it doesn't really
work. Now it doesn't work. The links are broken.
There's no one manning it. Right. No so one's it's manning like it. Just – if someone wants to film up here, regardless of if there's an incentive or not, like, let's not put a roadblock. There's already a huge roadblock. Right. We're far away and hard to get to, right? So let's not give other roadblocks of making it hard to
yeah.
find.
I mean, like, there was a story.
We should reward those who want to come up here and film, not
and make it
punish
easy.
Them.
And make it easy for them.
Having
yeah.
them
and even
hit
have
brick
a, and
walls.
Safe. And safe for them. Because, I mean, like,
right.
there's
if
a story.
If you can't get a permit and exactly. you're going on roads, so, you know, in some states, like, if you're. Like in New York, sometimes you can get a police officer to come for free just because they want you, you know, upstate. Like, they want you to be safe on this road and you're yeah. shooting at night and you just ask for a complimentary car to come and kind of, you know, do a lockdown. And I'm not saying we have to do that, but just any, you know,
something.
Just some people
like
are
that.
Aware that you're yeah. filming on a road. Because if it's too hard, if you make it too hard, people will just go
Especially,
out and shoot and they won't have the proper permits and no one will know that they're doing it. And that's when accidents can happen.
Especially
yeah.
with
so,
the road infrastructure up here,
right.
very windy roads
and
during
one,
winter.
One road between right. towns. It's like, you know.
Especially like if you're filming in Whittier, like the one-way mm-hmm. tunnel, you know, that's that's just an accident waiting to happen.
Yeah. So right. I think right. having a film office or a film website, those are like second at. So if you go to alaskafilminginitiative.org, you will see the letter that we want to put on that PDF and you will see where to sign it. But so Ashley was saying, like, we do have three things that we're asking for. And we're hoping that just one of them or all of them, right, mm-hmm. come to fruition sooner rather than later. It's the feasibility study. And we're hoping, you know, it's like we've heard numbers around $50,000 to do this. To have someone come up and actually do a feasibility study. Number two, a film office. And then the easiest one, number three, a film website. So those are our three things that we're just taking. I think yeah. it's pretty simple.
It's a pretty simple ask, and it's yeah. not like a lot of money.
Exactly.
It's very and, easily doable.
And a film website could benefit a lot of people because you could put, you know, very quite easily, you could put up, here's a link to some caterers if you're shooting in Anchorage.
Bingo.
Here's
yeah.
a link to some caterers here's, if you're shooting in Fairbanks. Here's a link to some
everyone.
Caterers if you're shooting
local
in Juneau.
Local employees or
here's,
local
you know,
people that can work on your film if you need a DP or something
right.
like that, you know?
Like just, yeah, just really basic stuff.
Yeah. It, I think that would be...
It'd make really information cool. more accessible to everybody. Mm-hmm. It would help get the community more tight-knit and as well more welcoming for newcomers. It's
yeah.
just benefits all around. There's really no downside,
yep.
right? It's
Agreed.
Just getting this project seen and heard.
And getting people to care about filming in a lot, you know, specifically from the legislative
and
side,
what it
like
could mean, yeah.
understanding. Yeah. And that's part of what we're doing also is just trying to educate everyone about eventually what, you know, what this is and mm-hmm. why it's important mm-hmm. and what it could do. And the feasibility study will be the first step in kind of that education, I think.
Yep. I agree.
Yeah. Like that's coming up on our next topic. If the feasibility study goes well, I mean, what's the next steps? And we've touched on those and websites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've talked about, I mean,
offices.
We've kind of talked a little bit about what it looks like say we get the feasibility study. And it's like, mm-hmm. you know, we're looking at maybe 6 months to a year to wait to have that done.
Do we have like a roadmap maybe that's easy to follow? It's like feasibility study, office website.
Oh, yeah. So on and so forth. Don't really have that so much yet. We're really putting all of our eggs into like, we want the feasibility study. Mm-hmm. This will really be the beginning of the roadmap.
Because that makes or breaks it.
Yeah, almost. I mean, of course, we would take the other things too, but it's like the feasibility study could show us what we are missing out on. And that's a big thing for this state, right? What are we missing out on? I think that the feasibility study would be numero uno, and that's kind of what we're focusing on. But we've talked about like, okay, you know, we get the money. Say we get all the signatures and whatnot. Say the feasibility study happens and we get it. What do we do next? Mm-hmm. And I think really all we have right now is doing some sort of filmmaking summit where we get everybody in the room and just be like, okay, let's talk about this. Let's have voices be heard. And it doesn't even need to be filmmakers. It just can be people that are interested. Because I think that's one of the things that we're also very, very passionate about as a group is like hearing from other people. I think that's one thing that it's like we want to hear from a filmmaker in Fairbanks because we don't know what it's like filming in Fairbanks. We don't know what they go through. Filming in Juneau, right? I mean, there's a lot of...
maybe some remote locations like Noe, there's a ton Barrow, of remote Dead locations. Horse, Aleutian Island.
Yes, 100%. So it's like trying to do some sort of summit where it's like you can tune in online, you can be there in person, and just like, hey, like, you know, here's the time to write in your questions, to email your questions or whatever. Let's talk about it. So, I mean, that's an idea.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I think also eventually, so I think we would love to help in some way, shape or form, forming a summit, like you said, collecting ideas. Eventually, legislators would sort of start to get involved as well into shaping what a bill would actually look like. Right. And hopefully we could help gather community support and tell them, you know, put in sort of what a lot of people are looking at, what the concerns are, what the pain points are, what the advantages are, all of that stuff. And then it's going to be looking at the feasibility study, deciding what kind of incentive should be set up. There's so many different ways to do it. There's rebates and there's tax incentives. There are, you know, transferable credits and non-transferable credits. There's all different things that can happen. And those are sort of getting into the details, and that will take a committee that may form sort of in the legislator group, I think, to kind of, you know, with a lot of different very smart people that will have to start to put that together, and we'll be as involved or not involved as it will make sense at that time. Mm-hmm. In that, I don't think we have all, you know, we don't have all the answers. Well, we're trying to ask the questions. Yeah, we don't have any answers.
Right now, you're trying to find the questions.
We're trying to ask the questions so that people can start, you know, hearing what the ideas are and just try to start the conversation. Yes. I mean, we want the conversation to be going, and.
Yeah, I think, I mean, relatively everybody, with maybe the exception of one or two people, are relatively new to the idea of politics in the group. I know me and Ashley, this is like our first like big thing and being like, oh, I don't, what?
How do I approach these people?
Exactly, what do we do next, you know? And so it's been asking a lot of questions of stuff because we're just passionate, like, you know, we just, we want this. And it's like, how do we go about it? And like, you know, we can't wait for someone else to do it. Right. It's like, we're just going to do it and we're going to figure it out. You know, I didn't see myself ever going to Juneau and being like, and listen here, you know, I think we should do this for the state of Alaska. You know, I think that's something that was never crossed my mind. And here we are, you know, we're doing it. Cause it's like, we believe in the state.
Right.
And we believe that we could, you know, but like, to reiterate what Ashley said, we don't know the answers. Yeah.
But that's okay. We don't need the answers right now. We're not at a point of needing those answers. We're at a point of needing people to want to ask the questions and to look at it and to be open to the idea. And that will allow everyone to maybe have a voice in shaping it, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
So beside getting legislators' eyes and ears on this, have there been any other background challenges with the initiative?
Scheduling meetings. Yeah. Just, I mean, you know, it's six,
also a lot of time.
Six busy people. You
yeah.
know?
Like this is it. We're like a community group, but
yeah.
this is our free time and we have to email, you know, whatever.
It's all 60 volunteer some
people.
Based.
Yeah. We have to yes. email a lot of people yeah. individual emails and collect a lot of information and build a little website. And I mean,
right. Yeah. And I think that's been the only really hurdles.
It's like a job.
But everybody's
turned into a job.
Everybody. Yeah. It's starting to look like that, but I'm okay with it because yeah. I think we're all very excited about it. And I think there's an excitement around it because ever since 2015, I don't know where you were, but I was about to.
I think I was in third grade.
Okay. So you were probably like, filmmaking. No, I'm just kidding.
I was like, oh, Transformers is cool.
I was just wanting to get into film in 2015, mm-hmm. right? Or just getting into videos. And I was passionate about it. I loved watching movies. I loved behind the scenes. I loved making little videos with my friends. And I was like, man, I should look into doing this like full time. And I applied to be a PA on a big movie that was out, filming out in Whittier. And then the film incentive got shut down. And so I think it's just like there was some excitement that was around that time that we talked about before with people and Moose's Tooth and stuff. And I think we feel that right now. I mean, if I can speak for all of us, but for myself, really, I'm just like saying, like, I'm excited because what does this mean? Now, it's not tomorrow that this is going to change, and it might not be a year, it might not be two. This is a long game. And really, it's a game, I guess. I mean, we're playing the game. It could be 10 years. It could be 15 years. We don't know. But we're all excited about the beginning of what if. What is this?
Hang on just one sec. We'll be right back with more of Jordan's conversation with Ashley Steed and Stephen Kornfield from the Alaska Filming Initiative. Alaska Teen Media Institute is looking for youth to join our team. As a youth producer, you can edit audio, record voiceovers, help write scripts, and much more, and all of that is paid work. And get this. While we're based in Anchorage, you don't have to be there to work with us, because a lot of the work we do is done remotely. So if you're between the ages of 13 and 24 living in Alaska and interested in joining ATME, go to alaskateammedia.org/join. You can also email us at news@alaskateammedia.org. Let's get back to our conversation with Ashley and Steven from the Alaska Filming Initiative.
What was the initial thing that brought the group together? Was it an idea? Was it a text message sent out? Was it like, hey, I'm working on a film set and everyone on this film set kind of agrees that we need to start this? What was the catalyst?
I think there was a group of people that we got together and it was just like, whether they were filmmakers or not filmmakers, we all got in the same room and we've been like, what, like letting people's voice be heard. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I was just saying like 2015 is when I started to think about film. I'm relatively new in long, you know, longevity of this thing. There are some people who have been doing this who are older than me and have been doing it longer than I've been alive.
Yeah.
And it's like, what is your experience? What can we do that maybe the beginning in 2008 of that last film incentive, what can we work on that helped them bring the incentive to the table? But what is something we can change, you know, to secure that in our place? So it was really just a big meeting.
Yeah, we basically proposed, hey, let's set this meeting. And we set a date and then we invited anybody that we knew. And I, you know, stalked a bunch of people on Instagram, anyone that had like yeah. film in their, you know, tight, you know, in their bio, and they were based in Alaska. Yeah. I literally sent people. I'm not even active on social media, but I was, you know, just DMing people and all this stuff. And we were like, there might be four people that show up. I have no idea. Yeah. And we got 30 something people in that yeah. room just with a week or so
not
notice.
Even a week.
Yeah, like it was nothing. And yeah. people showed up and were enthusiastic, and it really showed us, I think, that, you know, there's definitely an interest and it's something that's worth it, you know, yep. worth looking at.
And so from that big meeting of 30-ish people, I mean, it was 20 to 30 people. And, you know, of course, people stayed afterwards and wanted to talk about projects. And it's like, you know, that talking filmmaking is something that we all love to do and just connecting and networking. And we're like, we need this more. We need, you know, something like this.
And we sent out an email to that whole group, actually. The people that are involved sort of in pushing this forward are self-selected at this point. We put it out to everyone and said, anybody who wants to get more involved, if you want to, you know, be a part of having to talk about this weekly or daily or going to Juno, just let us know. And we took in everybody that responded and said, I want to be a part of this in a bigger way. So it was a very open and still is open to people who want to participate. But not everybody wants to spend every day talking about
and,
it.
And that's the one thing. I'm surprised at myself because now I'm reading feasibility studies and other states' incentives.
It's not even a school assignment.
I'm like,
you're doing this willingly as an adult.
Who am I? I'm like eating my breakfast and reading California's feasibility report. I'm like, who am I? Yeah. What got me here? And it's exciting.
It's passion.
Yes.
Passion.
Agree. And I think whenever you follow your passion or whenever you follow something that you're just excited about, even if it's just a little spark, there's something there that just keeps you moving forward. And I think even though a year or two ago, and if you would have said like, oh, can you read this feasibility study? I would have been like, that sounds like the most boring stuff ever. But now I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Give it to me. I want to read it. You know, what do they do? What can we do?
You have a petition. Let me sign that. Let me put my name on this. Let me read this. Tell me all your information. Yeah. Give me questions.
Exactly. You know? So it's just learning. I think that's the big stage that we're in right now. It's just like learning and then seeing what our next steps are.
Yeah. And I actually am a big film incentive nerd because I shoot all around the country. I've shot in New York, Oklahoma, Louisiana,
Ashley's
Toronto.
One of the ones.
I make movies everywhere, and I actually like love digging into their incentives and learning the ins and outs. And I have to because we're shooting there, and I need to know what qualifies and what doesn't, and kind of knowing how to structure the films and knowing which state to go to because different states have different things that qualify. So based on what you're doing, you need to go different places. So I love it.
Yeah, very
you've
qualified.
Been doing this for a long
you're
time. You're very qualified to say the least.
I like it.
So what's the difference between a tax incentive and a tax rebate?
Great question. So a tax incentive is basically tied to a tax liability, which can either be for a film company or most often, you know, you set up like a single entity for your film. So you set up a My Film LLC, right? Mm-hmm. To get a tax incentive, you would need to owe taxes on that film, and then it would be deducted, basically. Most films don't actually have a tax liability because they have no income yet, right? They've, like, spent money. So often they'll sell it to a person or a different company that actually has a tax liability if it's a transferable credit. If it's a non-transferable credit, you have to use it yourself. If it's a transferable credit, you'll sell it for maybe 85 cents on the dollar, something like that, and this person will actually get 100% tax tax write-off, but for a discount, essentially. So that's all tied to taxes. A rebate is actually much simpler. Mm-hmm. It's cash. So you spend $1 million, like in Oklahoma, they have a 30 to 35% rebate. If you spend $1 million that's qualified, you're going to get $300,000 to $350,000 back in about 90 days of your qualified spend. Now, not everything's qualified. There's a bunch of, you know, maybe like your things that you pay to crew that is not from Oklahoma or talent that's not from Oklahoma. Or sometimes some states say no producer salaries at all are included, whether they're from that state or not. So every state's different. But basically, of your qualified spend, you get a certain percent and you just get a check. Mm-hmm. So very straightforward.
Right.
And so, you know, a rebate is really nice. A majority of states probably do the tax incentive, but a film rebate is a great way to go.
Mm-hmm. And are you willing to touch on the specifics about other states, like maybe some observations you've had when it comes to certain states, maybe like whatever type of films come out of there more often, whether they're documentaries or comedies, maybe just a statistic?
I don't know if I have statistics necessarily on what type of films, but basically something if you're getting into producing, it's very good to know about these incentives, because if you don't go to if you have a movie and you shoot in a state that doesn't have an incentive, you're essentially leaving money on the table. So if you have, like I said, $1 million to make your movie, Well, you could have an extra $300,000 by going to a state that has a 30% incentive, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is very basic math. There's a lot, like I said, a lot of details in it, but let's just, you know, that's the easiest way to explain it. But there's certain states that qualify certain things. So, for instance, Louisiana, that state will qualify you're above the line. So if you have talent that's getting paid a lot of money, you can qualify them. You can also qualify any workers that come to your states to come to Louisiana. So it's not just Louisiana-based crew. If you bring in people from Atlanta or Oklahoma or any nearby states, they qualify. So that's actually a great, very flexible credit.
Mm-hmm.
And then like in Oklahoma, only it's a rebate, but only Oklahoma-based crew counts towards it. So if you fly in your cinematographer, whatever you pay them will not count towards your towards the rebate.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're choosing which state to shoot in, you want to look at things like that because you want to look at, am I bringing a lot? Do I have a crew? You know, I'm from Missouri and I have all my favorite film people that I want to work with and I'm going to shoot in a rebate state. So I'm going to take them all somewhere. Well, I'd probably go to Louisiana before I'd go to Oklahoma because I could actually qualify all of their salaries in Louisiana and I couldn't qualify them in Oklahoma. So I'm leaving like money on the table. So, and then again, if you have a big talent line item, if you have Brad Pitt in your movie and he's getting paid lots and lots of money, you want to go to a state that is going to qualify his salary. So like Atlanta or Louisiana qualifies it to a certain point. You don't want to go somewhere like Oklahoma, maybe, because none of his salary would count. Now, there's other reasons you might go there. So you kind of have to do the math. But
right. Interesting.
That's the differences in states. All of the incentives are very nuanced and they all have very different things, which is why I'm a big nerd and like to look at it, because I always have to decide, like, where are we going to shoot this movie? In addition to just where, you know, you have to have the look and feel of the creative. But once you kind of establish, well, it could be in Louisiana, it could be in Oklahoma, it could be, you know, it's just a house in the suburbs, well, then it can be anywhere, right? So which state is best based on what other elements we have?
Man, we're so lucky to have you.
I don't know if that answered your question.
We're so lucky to have you.
But in terms of where, like, documentaries and narratives and stuff shoot, I don't really have the answer to that one. But I do just encourage everybody, if they're making movies, to look at where it might make sense to shoot your movie.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually go on rapbook.com and look up film incentives, and they'll actually do a really top level view of all the different states and what their incentives are.
Yep.
You can kind of compare them because other states have minimums. So certain states you have to spend a minimum to get a credit, and all
you
sorts
go to
of
Alaska
stuff.
And it says this state nothing. Does not currently have an
but
incentive.
It's one of the few, which is a reason it'd be great to get it, because there's a reason that these states do this, you know, and they all set them up differently based on what's going to be beneficial to their state, which is why they're all so different, which is why we have to do a study and decide. Someone, not necessarily us, someone's going to
I'm
decide.
Not doing it.
Yeah. Someone's going to decide what would be the best way for Alaska to set this up, right?
Yeah.
We don't have taxes, so it's possible a tax-based incentive is not going to be the best for us. Perhaps a rebate's better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but that's an idea.
That's why we're doing the feasibility study.
Exactly.
Bringing it around. Look at that. Well done.
So you said you were from Missouri, correct?
No, I'm actually originally from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, is where I grew up.
Oh.
And then I lived in New York.
You're from Pennsylvania?
I am.
I am too, technically.
Really?
I'm from Reading.
Oh.
So not near
technically.
Yeah. I was born in Reading and I lived there for, anyway, it doesn't matter.
Like 4 months.
No one cares. I lived in Pittsburgh for a long time and then as a child, and then I moved to New York City after I graduated college. And I lived there for 14 years, and then I moved here about 7 years ago.
What brought you to Alaska, and what has you so interested in wanting to invest in it?
I was brought to Alaska. My husband and I, who was a fiancé at the time, had a job opportunity up here, and we were living in New York City, and we said, hey, why not? That sounds like a lot of fun. We both love camping and hiking and outdoor stuff. And we thought, oh, maybe we'll go up for like a year. You know,
that's how it always happens.
Well, what's funny is everyone we met up here was like, yeah, I came up here 10 summers ago and now it's been 10 years. And we're like, that's hilarious. Anyways, we're going back to New York in a year. And then here we are 7 years later.
Yeah. Without fail.
Exactly. And I went from New York City to Alaska. And I left. I was like, I'll be back in a, you know, like a year. We're just going to we're going to go on some epic adventures and whatnot. And then we'll obviously return to the city, right? Like,
once you visit, you never want to leave. You know?
And then, yeah, now we've since had two kids, bought a house, like live up
you're
here.
Stuck.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
The roots have grown.
Yeah.
Now, Stephen, to pivot to you.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome. What are some hurdles you faced as a filmmaker in Alaska trying to make movies? Like, what are some things you've struggled with that maybe this incentive would have helped you with or had you struggle less with?
I think I'm relatively, like I said, I'm relatively new to the filmmaking world. I think, you know, I'm 34 now. And at the age of 30 is when I was like, oh, I want to call myself a film director. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to do. And so I started pouring myself. So I'm relatively new. There's a lot of other people that have done, you know, bigger features and shorts. You know, I know you have Jin and Bright on. I mean,
of course.
And Jeremy's been involved in a lot of stuff. But I've only made a few, and I can only speak to my experience. What I've found is, so we're doing a short film recently. This is, you know, just the last few months.
Allergic to Love, right?
Allergic to Love. Yes. Thank you for the shout
little
out.
Plug.
And allergictolovefilm.com. And you don't have to go there. Basically, the only thing was just like, you know, we didn't have an issue with like casting because, and I thought we were going to. I was like, okay, well, I don't really know that many actors. And so we just put a casting call out and I hit up people. We got like 30 to 40 auditions sent in. And so that was pretty wild. So I was like, okay, well, that's a hurdle that I, you know, I thought we were going to have to face. And I was like, okay, well, let's crew it out. And then, so of course, you know, I'm coming in from my little short films where I'm like, oh, just have a little sound guy, a camera operator, and, you know, a DP, maybe. Like if we're
if you're pushing it.
If overextending. And then like, but we wanted to go big. We're like, well, if we're going to do this, let's do it right. And then, so I was like, well, this is another hurdle. Like, how are we going to crew all this out? With people who aren't going to want to get paid their full, you know, thing, because we were like, we have no money. I have no money to pay these people. And so we had to do crowdfunding. And of course that was a hurdle and we faced it and it was like easy. It was like, that would be the one thing I'm like, okay, well, we did have, you know, like we talked about a little bit before, there's like five people in the entire state that do that one job and do it to the caliber that we're looking for. Right. You know, I can think of just a few sound guys.
Jeremy Blake, shout out.
Yeah. And that's who we went with, you know, and Jeremy was on set. And I'm a big advocate for people on set. You can speak your mind. You can be collaborative. And Jeremy had a lot of amazing ideas that made it into the film. And he was just like sitting there like, you know, we don't need sound for this one. He's like, what if this happened? I'm like, yes, dude, Jeremy, that was amazing
he
idea.
He has such a wealth of knowledge.
And so it's like finding those people that you mesh with. I thought that was going to be such a hard thing. And I was like, okay, well, if we're really going to hire all these people and, you know, raise all this money and pay them what they're, you know, hopefully a fraction of what they're worth, how are we going to do this? And we did it. And so those are the hurdles I saw, but we overcame. And as far as an incentive, we've spent so little money. I don't know if an incentive would actually have really helped us. And because we were also doing very independent, you know,
a lot of crowdfunding.
We were filming at my friend's restaurant and a lot of crowdfunding. And we were using, you know, the camera gear that we already had. And we were, you know, using the people that had really never maybe done art directing before, but then we were like, okay, well, come on in, you know? So the hurdles were there, but overcome. And I think that's another thing about Alaska is like, we'll make it happen. It's resilience. And so, you know, of course we made it simple to what we needed. I wrote to make it easy on us. Now, if we wanted to go bigger, of course the weather would have played a factor. Cause I had this one like outdoor shot and then I was like, middle of December filming. And I was like, for being hours outside with a crew and a cast. And I was like, not happening. So I deleted that scene. Right. And made it something different. So it's like, you gotta take the hurdles and overcome them and just be like, okay, well, you know, it is what it is. And I think letting go of that control has been a huge thing for me learning this last year is just like, well, you know, it was this in my head and now it's this. And overcoming that, I think the mental health thing about doing 12 to 14 hour days and, you know, trying to be on set and be locked in, that's a hurdle in itself right there.
Yeah. What would the ideal Alaska Film Initiative look like to you?
Oh, man. The ideal Alaska Film Initiative, as far as like
community, let's say community.
The community?
Yeah.
The or just not the about. Incentive at all.
No. What's the ideal community for you?
Okay. That's a great question, by the way.
That's a better question.
Yeah. I am one for networking and connecting with your community. And I think fostering that of some sort has to happen. We've been doing filmmaker meetups, which, you know, I just realized we're excluding, you know, several age groups.
Just a few years, you know.
And so we are going to change that. And we've only done two meetups, and it's been, you know, relatively small. But I want to keep that going. And I actually
maybe we can start doing a coffee meetup on Saturday morning.
Absolutely. Like I Kalates. Love that idea. Mm-hmm. Like
let's do a coffee one.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And just overrun the coffee shop mm-hmm. with filmmakers.
Yep.
I think that's a great idea. We'll do that. So have my word, we're going to have that happen. And you know, another thing about the community too is like, I think one thing that I'm starting to feel like I need to do more of is education and is educating, because as you know, people that I've learned, we've, you know, both of us have been in the industry for a little bit, me less than, you know, Ashley, but it's like there's been a lot of lessons I've learned, and I think a lot of people can benefit from, say, like, oh, okay, well, how did you shoot this concert? Well, it's like, oh, I did this and this. Oh, cool. It's like, so just like letting people know and not being like stingy with your experience. I think
spread
just letting
knowledge.
It out and yeah, exactly. And so that's a community, I think, to me.
Yeah. And speaking of spreading knowledge, with the past film incentive, was there things that specifically maybe Ashley, you looked at that you maybe realized like, yeah, maybe that was a bad move for them, or maybe that's why it didn't work, or Stephen, while you were here, was there things that maybe you saw that did work in that community or with that incentive?
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, I think a lot of people have opinions about why it did not work. I think, you know, I don't want to get into all of the opinions. I think probably something that a majority of people could agree on is that there was kind of a lack of education about it, in terms of filmmakers didn't necessarily understand everything about it. Legislators didn't necessarily understand everything about it. There was not the infrastructure to necessarily support it, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe not the time to build it. I mean, my understanding, it was a $200 million credit, which is really large.
Yeah.
For any state, you know, it's a big
maybe it was a bit too ambitious
of money. I mean, I wasn't, you know, I wasn't here for that, and I'm not part of that. And so it's hard to, you know, I don't have all the information, let's say, necessarily on that. But I would say, like, compared to other states, like, that's really large. And if you don't have a infrastructure to support it, it might just sit around if you can't spend it. So I think those would be, you know, those would probably be some reasons. And I think also, like, Alaska was going through a financial crisis at the time, right? So if you have this large pot of money that's sort of just sitting there and people aren't necessarily educated as to why, maybe it happened too fast and too quickly and people didn't necessarily understand it and it was a lot of money. And it might make a lot of sense to not have it anymore if you're looking at other areas that are underfunded. I mean, I don't know that you can blame – I mean – might have been a good decision to take it away. I don't know. Yeah.
I think
but
we did.
I think we want to do it differently, hopefully, this time.
Yeah. I think it's like the last incentive was exactly what was supposed to happen. We went through it, we learned, and now it's gone. And so it's like now we're just using that as like, well, why did it go away? And what can we do differently for this time?
And it's also not a lot of states have restructured their incentives.
Yeah.
New York just restructured theirs, I think, last year. Oklahoma restructured theirs in 2021. So
it's not uncommon.
It's not uncommon at all. I mean, you know, ours totally went away, and maybe that's what needed to happen. But to start and then to need to restructure is just pretty common, I think.
Yeah. Start on a new, fresh foundation.
Yeah, like we're not the first state to do that. We won't be the last. Like,
so let's maybe say instead of the incentive went away, maybe we just say it's paused.
It's being restructured.
It's being restructured.
But under construction.
But I think the idea is like...
I mean, that's Alaska, you know, construction.
Yeah.
Winter half of the year, construction the other half.
Yeah, so let's get a feasibility study. Let's start having conversations. Let's educate legislators. Mm-hmm. Let's hear what might work for the state and how to best, you know, boost the economy and what things will work given our specific state needs. You know, how should this look? Let's spend a lot of time figuring that out.
Yeah. And I know we had a long, lengthy conversation today, and I wish it could go on forever, but unfortunately, the human lifespan is limited. Is there anything we didn't touch on that you guys would like to bring up real quick, or maybe some information that you will be having at the next meeting or maybe posting online that we didn't get to touch base on?
I think just go to AlaskaFilmingInitiative.org. There's our email there if you want to contact any of us in the group, because we all have access to it. You can sign the letter. You can read the letter. And then you can also, there's buttons there to get more involved. There's a Facebook group. There's an Instagram. And so if you are curious about this and want to get more involved, that is the way where to do it. Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, we're a community group, so we need the community. So come join us.
I love that. That's great. We're a community group. We need the community.
Yeah.
We're also passionate about, I think a lot of people feel like they need to leave this state to learn what they want to learn, right? And it's like, I feel a call to LA because I want to be a film director because I can't do it as much as I want in Alaska. I think that's kind of bummer, right?
I know, because like I just graduated high school and all my film friends, they're going up down to like New Mexico and they're leaving the community and maybe they'll come back, but maybe they won't. And it'll be a bummer because so much of them have so much talent.
I think just giving people the resources in this home state, in their home state, so they don't feel like they need to leave. I feel like everybody feels like they need to leave this state to learn or to be where it's at. And I to a point, I get that. But I would love for them to at least grow and experience more here.
Yeah, that's great. Well, and one way to encourage as we build infrastructure, copying what other states have done, if a lot of people have fled, you know, left for other states like New Mexico or California, somewhere like Oklahoma, what they actually let you do is they call it expats. And if you hire someone that's originally from Alaska and has moved to Los Angeles, but you hire them back, you know, in Alaska or back in Oklahoma, they actually count towards your rebate. So you can pull them back in. So I think that's part of how they might have built up their crew base again is they slowly, rather than someone having to say, well, I'm making a lot of money here in Atlanta, I'm not going to just move back home to Oklahoma and hope I get jobs. Maybe they came back three or four times for different movies and then finally said, oh, I can actually have a living here. And it started to build it up. So we can just poach little ideas from all of the
I love that.
All of the states.
Learn from those before us.
Right, exactly.
It was lovely having you two. Thank you
so much.
Thanks for having us. This was great.
Thank you so much. Giving us your wealth of knowledge and your group's
motive
and such. It means a lot to the youth because, you know, eventually that's going to impact us and we want to be involved.
Absolutely. I 100% think we're going to do a coffee meetup or something. You know, maybe it doesn't have to be coffee. Maybe it can be mocktails.
You know, that was my idea.
And when we talk about building infrastructure, it's going to start with the youth.
Exactly.
You know, like when you talk about building up the crew base, that's the youth. It's the filmmakers that are coming out of school and want to be involved.
Yep.
That's 100%. How we're going to build the Alaska community.
You've been listening to Film Club, a production of Alaska Teen Media Institute. Our show's theme was composed by Kendrick Whiteman, with additional music from Devin Schreckengost. Alaska Teen Media Institute is based in Anchorage, Alaska. We'd like to acknowledge the Dena'ina people it was landing work on. Many thanks to supporters of our podcast, including the Alaska State Council on the Arts. The views expressed in this program do not necessarily represent the views of our sponsors. Thanks to our listeners who contribute to our programs and help us leverage additional funds and grants. If you'd like to support Youth Voices in Alaska and help keep our podcast going, you can support us through Patreon. It's a membership platform that makes it easy for you to support creative endeavors like AVME. Just go to patreon.com/AlaskaTeenMedia. You can also help out by subscribing to, rating, or writing a review of our podcast on Apple Podcasts. Every little bit helps us get our stories out there. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and X, formerly known as Twitter, at Alaska Team Media. Follow us for all sorts of updates. For Alaska Team Media Institute, I'm Ormander Lois. Thanks for listening.